So today we're going to learn about the death of Aaron, the high priest. Misas Aharon HaKohen. We're going to learn about the aftermath, what it teaches us. So we're going to begin at the very end of chapter 20. And then we're going to start chapter 21. And as you know, the chapters, they're not really from a Torah source. So sometimes they don't make sense, actually. The end of chapter 20 gives us the details of Aaron's passing. He goes into this mountain, this called Hor Ha'or, the mountain upon a mountain. And Moshe Rabbeinu is there with him. His son Elazar wears his raiments. He has the privilege of seeing his son effectively take his place. And he dies like a, if one can use the word, a beautiful death, by the kiss of God. That's the euphemism, the expression. Now, nobody was there with the exception of Moshe and Elazar. And they come down the mountain. And the Torah says, Vayiru kol ha'edo. The whole congregation saw. Ki gova Aaron, that Aaron had died. Vayivku es Aaron. They wept and mourned for Aaron. Shloshim yom, for 30 days. Koil beis Yisrael. The entire house of Israel. Rashi comments on this pasuk, and he says the following: Vayiru kol ha'edo. Everybody saw. So the obvious question is, what did they see? At best, it should have said Vayishma. They heard. Moshe would tell them that Aaron had passed. Instead, it says Vayiru. Now Aaron passes in this cave, and that's where he's buried, in that cave. So Rashi explains, Kishero Moshe ve'Elazar yerdim, when they saw Moshe and Elazar coming down the mountain, ve'Aharon le'yorad, and Aaron did not come down, Amru, they immediately said, Heichanu Aaron, what's going on here? Three went up, only two came down. Omar lahem. So Moshe and Elazar said to them, sadly, Mace, he passed. Amru, they said, Efsher? Could such a thing be? Misha Omad Keneged HaMalach, the one who stood in opposition to the angel of death, the Atzar Samagefa, he was able to stop the plague of death. Yishlad Bey Malach HaMavis? So that's a story that happened 38 years ago. But everybody remembers this story very vividly. Aaron is the man who beat the Malach HaMavis. Nobody beats the Malach HaMavis. Can't beat the angel of death, but Aaron did. So at this point, the people would refuse to accept the notion that Aaron had died. Miyad, immediately.
I'm supposed to go there?
You could go there, or you can come here, whatever you...
No, but because you said 6:30 and 7 o'clock.
Yeah, so that menu started.
That means over there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, all right, see you soon.
Okay. So, Moshe Rabbeinu Bikesh, Moshe Rachamim, Moshe begged Hashem for mercy. Why did he have to beg Hashem for mercy? Because he knows the Jewish people. So Moshe is trying to hide something from us. Who knows what Moshe is trying to do now? And then the next thing he knows, he's going to have another rebellion on his hands. So Moshe Rabbeinu immediately asked Hashem for mercy. The ministering angels showed an image of Mutol Bemita, of Aaron being carried in some kind of coffin, some kind of bear. Ro, they saw. Veheminu, they believed. So really, Rashi gives us two reasons why it says the words Vayiru kol ha'edah instead of Vayishmu. First of all, what did they see? They saw three went up and only two came down. And then after they saw three went up and two came down, a conversation ensued. And after the conversation ensued, again, they saw something. So they saw in the beginning. That's what sparked the conversation. They had the conversation, and then they saw. The first time they saw, literally, a terrestrial physical vision where three people go into a cave, only two come out. Where's the third? And then they saw this image, this heavenly image in the skies, and somehow between seeing everything, they believed. Now the Targum Yerushalmi says something very interesting. So what did they see? We know that when you lose a loved one, what do? You tear kriya, you tear your garment. They saw Moshe Rabbeinu with his garments rent. Now they wouldn't see Elazar because Elazar is a Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol doesn't rent his garments. And anyway, he was wearing the big day kahuna. He was wearing the Kohanic clothing, the gold clothes. You're not allowed to tear that. That's a special sin. You're not allowed to destroy those clothes. So they couldn't see Elazar with torn clothes. Who did they see? They saw Moshe. So they saw Moshe with a kriya. Immediately they knew. Immediately they knew. You know, Gimel Tammuz, I was away from New York the last few days. And I really found out because the rabbi who I was staying by came to the Chabad house, and I saw his garments torn. And that's how I knew. That's like a giveaway. You see garments torn. Because the halacha is that when you hear such news, you're supposed to tear immediately. Most people don't have the presence of mind to tear immediately. So they tear right before they go out to the funeral. So this is what he saw, and this is what happened, and who cried for him? Kol Beis Yisrael. So Rashi says like this. It doesn't say Vayivku Bnei Yisrael. It says Kol, the whole, the entirety. So you'll say, so what? So it says the entirety. Well, the thing is, you would know this, but later on when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to pass, the language of the scripture is Vayivku Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel. It doesn't say the extra word Kol. It doesn't say all. The question comes, what's going on here? Why does it say all? Who are we including? So Rashi says, Ha'anoshim V'hanoshim. It was both the men and the women. And Rashi explains, L'fi shahoya Aaron Reidev Shalom. Aaron was a person who pursued peace. Umatil Ahava. He was able to inject or insert love into relationships. Bein Baalei Meriva, between those who quarreled, uvein ish le'ishtoi, and between husband and wife. And because Aaron was able to bring peace, bein ish le'ishtoi, between husband and wife, because of this, everybody felt a sense of duty towards Aaron. Everybody loved Aaron. They say this chesed ve'emes. Moshe Rabbeinu's emes. Aaron is chesed. Everybody loves chesed. Moshe had a tough job. He had to tell everybody the truth. Nobody likes the truth. Moshe wasn't so popular. I didn't have to tell them the truth. Just be this lovable spiritual leader. Inspire everybody. Never tell the truth. He never had to use any tough discipline or harsh measures. But that, anyway, Rashi says, clearly quoting the Avestad of Nassan and the Medrash, that this is what Aaron did. And because Aaron did this, everybody cried and wept for him.
I still don't understand why Moshe begged for mercy right away.
Why did Moshe beg for mercy? You're going back to the last Rashi. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu has already 40 years of experience with these people. And these are a rebellious, rambunctious people. We Jewish people don't accept things easily. If we challenge something, once we start challenging, we challenge. And when a leader is challenged, that's not healthy. It's not good. It's supposed to accept what the leader says. You have a Rebbe, you're supposed to accept what the Rebbe says. So Moshe Rabbeinu needed some kind of, you know, the people refused to accept this. No, you can't be. You're not telling us the truth. Aaron didn't die. He can't die. Remember, this is a guy who stood down to the angel of death. Nobody before or after ever did that. So Aaron was maybe even larger than life, than people's eyes. He stood down to the angel of death. Nothing could stop him. So they didn't accept that. No, you make the calculation. What happens if they don't accept that?
More questions.
More questions? Think about what's happened till now. You learn Parshas Korach. You learn Parshas Shlach. Every time the Jewish people didn't accept Moshe Rabbeinu, what happened? Trouble. Clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned because he began to daven. Now this Rashi, going back to the Rashi, we just learned, it's a very difficult Rashi, this Kol Beis Yisrael. What does that mean? So not everybody cried for Moshe? Only the men cried for Moshe? The woman didn't cry for Moshe? Like, how could that be? That wouldn't make any sense. So the Maharal of Prague says something very interesting. He says that Aaron brought the clouds of glory in his merit. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in his merit, came the manna. Right? Miriam brought the water, Moshe brought the sustenance, the manna, and Aaron brought the clouds of glory. So Maharal says that in general, it's a husband's responsibility to provide sustenance for his wife. And because it's a husband's responsibility, so he said the assumption that the woman, you know, everybody got fed, but they said, of course we got fed. If we won't get fed, who we complain to? To our husbands. It's their job. Go figure it out. Go bring home the bread, so to speak. Go bring home the wheat. So they didn't appreciate so much that it came from Moshe because it was given, you know, they got it, but they had this expectation that it would come anyway, whereas the men felt, hey, Moshe saved our lives. What would happen if there wouldn't be food? We would have to bring home food. We have to bring home the sustenance. So they had a different level of appreciation. That's one thing Maharal says. And another thing Maharal says is that Moshe Rabbeinu, what he gave was really, in a sense, universal. The leadership of Moshe was the same. It was one size fits all. It was a Moshe Rabbeinu, took care of Jewish people. He was their leader. Aaron got involved in their lives. And because he got involved in their lives, so they mourned him, not only in a global sense, but also individually. They felt this personal sense of duty. And he says, the Maharal says, you know, like women and men function differently. So the woman mourned as women mourned, men mourned as men mourned, and that was more pronounced with Aaron. That's why we have this idea of kol beis Yisrael. At any rate, that's what happened. Everybody mourned. Everybody mourned. So let's go to the Biurim book. We'll learn something short. And then hopefully we're going to go back to the Chumash to be able to learn a little more. So on page Chav Dalad, Siman Tezvav, the Rebbe comments that Medivri Rashi Nimsa, it seems in the words of Rashi, Shebe Parshas Misas Aaron, in this whole portion of Torah that discusses the passing of Aaron the high priest, Reimez HaKosov Lishtayim Mima'aloysov HaMerkazius. The Pasuk, the verse alludes to two of the central virtues, of the most pronounced and prominent virtues that defined Aaron's character. Number one that was Hayyosei Reidef Shalom Umatel Ahava Ben Baalei Meriva Ubeinishle Ishtei. Number one, because Aaron was the one who brought a sense of peace. People would fight, arguments. He brought peace in the home. Very nice. However, if you take a look in the next pasuk, and now let's go back to the Chumash. You read, you begin now chapter 21, Vayishma Knani Melech Arad. The Knani, who was the king of Arad. What did he hear? Ki va Yisrael derech ha-sorim, that the Jewish people were now taking the path that they had formerly taken, that the spies had taken earlier. Vayilochem bi Yisrael. So he attacked Israel. So take a look now in Rashi. What does Rashi say? Vayishma Knani. What did he hear? What did he hear that said, that given the impetus to go and attack? It says, Rashi, Shoma Shemes Aaron, he heard that Aaron died, the Nistalku Anane covered, and the clouds of glory that had enveloped the Jewish people and served to shield and protect them had dissipated. Kedi Issa, as it says, B'Rosh Hashanah interacted Rosh Hashanah. And Rashi goes on to say, V'Amolek Me'elam Ritzuas Mardus Li'Yisrael. Amalek is like always the whip. We're always getting whipped by Amalek. Whenever we have to get whipped, Mizun b'chaleis l'parani. If something's going to go wrong, the Jewish people always find themselves dealing with Amalek. How do we know that's Amalek? The next Rashi deals with that. We'll go back to that in a minute. So let's go back now to the Biurim. So the Rebbe says, what do we hear about the passing of Aaron? On one hand, the scripture says, Kol Beis Yisrael. What does Kol Beis Yisrael tell us? Kol means everybody. So we know about which virtue of Aaron? Matel Shalom, that he brought peace. That's virtue number one. The next pasuk talks about the attack. What does the attack tell us about Aaron? It tells us that in his merit, the Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory came. So if the clouds of glory came, now we know that between these two psukim, between chapter 20, verse 29, and between chapter 21, verse 1, we're informed of two distinctly different virtues or qualities that Aaron had. Number one, he brought peace to the Jewish people. Number two, he brought the sense of security and protection. So, is there any connection between the two? So the Rebbe says, very interestingly, Sheshtei ma'aleh seilu tluyu zu bezu. Yeah, actually, one hinges on the other. They are not mutually exclusive. And the Rebbe says, Hehevdol ben hamon, the difference between the manna, shenitin lebnei Yisrael b'schus Moshe, which was given to the Jewish people in the merit of Moshe. V'hamayim, the water, which was given in the merit of Miriam. Uben anani covered the clouds of glory, sheigonu aleim, which served to protect them and shield them, was b'schus Aaron. Who hamon v'hamayim nitnu l'chol echad b'yibnei Yisrael b'nifrit. Everybody got something to eat, and everybody got something to drink. The rations came individually. You all got your ration. V'ilu anani covered, but the clouds of glory, hikifu es b'nei Yisrael, yachad. It encompassed and enveloped all of us equally. You didn't get a ration of cloud of glory. You didn't get a portion of protection. Everybody was protected. Hegonu al kulam b'shava. It protected on everybody equally. V'lachein bo anan ha'akoved dafke b'schus Aaron. That's why the anan ha'akoved arrived specifically in the merit of Aaron. Why? Me'achash ha'aron hu shepol shalom v'achtos. What did Aaron bring about? Peace. Unity. Peace and unity is metaphorized, or if you will, is exemplified through the cloud of glory, the atmospheric protection that enveloped everybody equally. So the Rebbe links the two psukim. That's how we get the end of chapter 29, which talks about Aaron's koil beis Yisrael. We get informed of Aaron's peacemaking endeavors. And in chapter 21, verse 1, we hear about Aaron's protection that he engendered. The Rebbe says they're not mutually exclusive. Now, let's go back to the Rashi. So we have this business with the Yeshiv HaNegev, the Negev dwellers. Who is this Negev dwellers? Says Rashi, Ze Amalek. This is Amalek. How do we know that? Shenemar, because it says earlier, in chapter 13, Amalek Yeshiv Be'eretz HaNegev, when the spies wanted to instill fear in the hearts of the Jewish people and tell them, you don't want to go to Israel. What did they say? They mentioned Amalek. They said, Amalek lives in the Negev. Now, here, they're changed. They're not referred to as Amalek. If Amalek is a part of the thesis here, it's an important part of the story, how can we avoid calling them Amalek? Over here, Vishina es l'shoinai, l'daber b'loshin Canaan. Do you know why they're called Canaani? Because here, the Amalekites decided to be cloak and dagger. They used deception. They came along, and they changed their language. They were speaking Kenani. So when they intercepted the Morse code, they started picking up, they said, oh, they're talking Kenani. Talking Kenani. And why did they do this? Kadesh Yiyu Yisrael Mispalim LaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that the Jewish people would pray to God, Lasseis Kenanim Biyadim. Because the prayer has to be specific. The prayer is all about intent. So the Amalekites, who knew about the Jewish people's spiritual strength, and despite this were unafraid to attack them, they said, let them pray that God deliver them from Canaanites. But v'heim einom Canaanim. In fact, they are not Canaanim. Ro Yisrael levushehem. The Jewish people saw their clothes, ki levushi Amalekim. The uniforms, the clothes were Amaleki. V'lashenom lashen Canaan. But their language, they were screaming commands in Canaan. Amru, they said, nispal stam. We're not sure. Something is wrong here. Something doesn't make sense here. They look one way, they sound another way. Let's just daven. Whoever this enemy is, God save us from this enemy. Im nosen tit nisa amaza biyadi. Just give this nation into my hands. So why didn't they change their clothes too? why change your language? You would think that the clothes would be noticed much more quickly, much more readily than language. So a simple answer is that an army trains with specific weapons and a specific uniform. And you know where your gear is. To get people after training for years using specific gear and specific clothing, to get them to wear different gear, to use different clothing, will actually harm their ability to fight. Because they're used to like functioning a certain way. And the clothes, especially once upon a time, the armor people wore, it allowed certain kinds of functionality. It inhibited other functionality. It's a price you pay for protection. So if they would change that, they wouldn't be an effective fighting force. But changing commands, they could change commands. And that's why they tried to be the most effective, robust fighting force. But at the same time, they wanted to be deceptive so the Jewish people would pray and they would do so in a non-focused fashion. The Jews figured this out very quickly. So what did they pray? A general focus. They avoided the specific focus. Derech HaAsarim. What's Derech HaAsarim? The way of those who took a tour. Derech HaNegev. The southern entrance, the southern highway. Shehalchu by Meraglim. That the Meraglim went. Shenemar, as it says, Vayalu BaNegev. All right. So the Rebbe asks a question here. Back to the Biurim book. How can Rashi come along and say that the Kenani heard that Aaron died? And what does it mean that he heard? He actually saw. It's funny, when the Jewish people saw, we call it heard. When the Canaanites or the Amalekites saw, we call it heard. What did he hear? They saw Nistakon on their covet. And then they heard, the reason that the clouds went away is because Aaron died. B'shoshim afudish b'kosov. The pasuk says clearly. How did they know? What did the Kenani hear? Vayishma Kenani. What did the Kenani hear? The Kenani heard ki bo Yisrael derech asarim, that the Jewish people came by the way of the spies. So Rashi says, no. It's not what they heard. They heard that the clouds of glory went away. What are you talking about? The scripture is open. Rashi's job is when the scripture is not. Is explanatory. When it's not clear, when it's not lucid, Rashi's job is to fill in the blanks, explain to us that this is what the scripture meant. Here the scripture is open. This is exactly what we're talking about. This is what they saw. This is what they heard. They heard they changed routes. They're following a new highway. Rashi comes along and says, you know what they heard? They heard about Anani Arkovit. How does that add up? And anyway, if according to Rashi, what was known was that the route changed, they rerouted and they're using a different highway, then why does he even mention, like, why talk about Derech HaSarim? Like, and what did the Meraglim have to do with this? All of a sudden we're talking about Meraglim now? The Shleimer, the Rebbe says, Bo Yisrael Derech HaSarim, coming through that path, the way of the Meraglim, hihi Ashmua, that is indeed what they heard. What did they hear? That they heard that the clouds of glory went away. What does that mean? Ad Moshe shel Aaron, until the passing of Aaron, le nizkiku b'nei Yisrael l'drachem slulis. How did the Jewish people travel when there was clouds of glory? They traveled wherever the cloud would take them. Did they follow a highway? Did they follow the beaten path? No. One of the things that the cloud used to do was manmich es hagavaya. It would flatten the mountains and it would fill the valleys. So the Jewish people didn't have to follow a road. They made their own way. Anani akavod ha'yimoydin lehem es haderech. They would show them the way and make the way. Ach la'achar ma'isi shel Aaron. All of a sudden, you can't just go wherever you want. We don't know where we're going now. We don't have the clouds of glory that are making the way for us, that are paving the way. Ne'eltzu b'nei Yisrael litzayit bedrachim slulis. Now they needed to find the paved road. Now they needed to go to the highway. Why? Shalei lavad is darkam. You know how easy it is to get lost in the forest? You go in circles. There's no markers. It looks exactly the same. It's just vast expanses of sand. So now they suddenly needed to take the official path. And zeu eifek avan is divrei Rashi. This is Rashi explains. The Kenani heard that they came on a regular highway. But derech slula, the Meraglim didn't have little clouds of glory to follow them. How did the Meraglim find their way? The Meraglim took the official path. So now all of a sudden the nation is taking the official pathway like the Meraglim. They said, something must have happened. And this answers another question. I always wondered, what did the clouds of glory look like? Were they purple, yellow, red? How could you see them? You think people actually were living like in a virtual reality? You saw clouds? I don't know. I don't know if you saw clouds. Could the Kenani see clouds, see from a distance? How would they know if the clouds are there or not there? But this explains. The Amalekites are very smart. They said, what's going on over here? Why are they taking the paved road all of a sudden? For 40 years, they went through the desert. Now, all of a sudden, they changed routes. Now, they changed methodology. I said, oh, something must have changed. So they sent their espionage, and they came back, and they said, yeah, something's different there. They're not. They don't seem to have that same protection. Why? He said, oh, Aaron died. Oh, Aaron died. Remember, the Amalek has understood the spiritual power of a tzaddik. He said, in that case, now it's time to go attack. And so they did attack us, and they harmed us. They captured a captive. It was a painful battle. In the end, we win. But one cannot say that there was no harm or pain inflicted, and it was a traumatizing experience to the Jewish people. But this is for another day.